Switching gears now to a technology that maybe is common to you one day, as say your toothbrush. In fact, you may in fact already be using it. You might be using it and not even know about it. It's interesting because I'm talking about radio frequency ID tags, or what some people are calling the barcode of the future. Now, these are tiny little microchips that can be placed on packaging or in clothing or even in casino chips. And they broadcast a little signal sometimes, or they have a signal broadcast to them when they're in a passive mode. And so you can track the chips if you have the right kind of transmitter or receiver. And they allow anyone with the right chip track reader to know where the chip is. And so if they know where the chip is, they may know where you are, what product that you're using is. For example, one system you may be familiar with is the wireless, you know, toll system, that little box you have in your car. It registers when you pass through a toll booth, and they charge your credit card for that. Well, get ready for these radio chips to show up in lots of other places, in products that you take home, perhaps without even knowing that you have them in your products. And while they are being touted as a replacement for the barcode, some consumer groups are concerned that the tags might be a way to track people or the products that they buy. Is this a legitimate privacy concern here? Joining me to talk about it is Suzanne Cantra. She is the senior technology editor at Popular Science Magazine. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thank you.
Is there a privacy possibility problem issue here?
There is a possibility of it. Obviously, any time that you have data being associated with a specific individual, there is a possibility that somebody can hack into the system and retrieve that information. So it's really going to be a question of, are the services that are going to be rendered to consumers attractive enough that we're willing to give up some of our privacy?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about where would you find these chips now? Are they in Kmart? Are they in Walmart? You know, where are Walmart's? Where are they?
Well, Walmart is asking their suppliers to put RFID chips into it. Really, the RFID chips aren't going to be in anything that's going to be costing probably less than $15, because it's just not going to be cost effective. Mm-hmm. So really, it's going to be tracking things like DVDs. It's going to be going into clothing. They're also looking into some of, as you were alluding to, some of the scarier applications. They're experimenting with implanting them in prisoners to track them, potentially putting them in hospital patients.
To track where the patients wander or be in the building?
Well, think about it this way. You have your whole medical history now encoded on the small ID tag, and somebody comes up and they're going to administer a drug to you. Mm-hmm. What if you're not supposed to have that drug? The chip could actually prevent you from getting the wrong medication. Is that a good enough trade-off to potentially have this tag in you while you're in the system?
I think right now, if I were in a hospital, I think I might be in favor of that sort of thing. Maybe down the road, I might not.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a trade-off.
Yeah. 1-800-989-8255, talking with Suzanne Cantra of Popular Science Magazine. What about, you know, like tracking packages on the road, things like that? A legitimate way to keep track of where the cargo is heading around the country?
Oh, absolutely. And they're using that today. They're able to track shipments. The question then becomes, you know, tracking it back to a specific store, and then if the tag isn't killed, as they call it, you know, basically zapping the information out of it, then what happens to it? But obviously, somebody who's in a distribution system, they have a right to know where all their merchandise is at any given time.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the technology of how this works. I mentioned that one technology is like what you have in the car toll box, that's a little thing that you have. How does that work?
Well, that's a passive system where you have a reader that sends out electromagnetic field, which gives basically power to the device so it can then send back your ID tag to it. And then they have a database matching that up and saying, yes, you may go through the toll. Mm. And then the other type is one that would have a battery attached to it and actually a transmitter. And that would range for, say, 300 or more feet and enable people to scan, for instance, what might be the cargo in a train, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. So it depends on which. Why would you choose one over the other?
Well, obviously, if you have to have a battery in it, if you don't have the battery in it, then it's not going to work. And so for a lot of applications, it doesn't make sense to put power packaged into any kind of good that you might be buying at the store.
Mm-hmm. How do you keep somebody from hacking into the chip and, you know, sending out false information?
Well, they can use encryption. So if you're using 64 or 128-bit encryption, how useful is that to hack one piece of merchandise, because remember, it's you're going to be using different keys for each ID tag. So you have to have that sort of public-private key system going where you need to have the correct key to be able to unlock the information inside.
Now, in popular science this issue, it talks about that the MasterCard, for example, is going to be putting these chips in their cards. So you'll just swipe your card, just wave it by something, or you don't have to actually put it through a swiper anymore?
That's true. You don't have to put it through a swiper, but the waiter could then come to your table.
Right.
You wouldn't even necessarily even have to take the card out of your wallet. So maybe that's going to be a benefit to you. Somebody won't be shoulder surfing and get your credit card information. So, you know, there's always the good side and the bad side. The bad side is obviously, you know, maybe somebody could hack into MasterCard and steal all the numbers, but maybe they could do it a different way too.
And of course, I'm sure that the security people must, you know, in this age of war and terror, this must be something they really want.
Well, it's exciting to be able to track people potentially, but it just becomes so tricky. I mean, you can't really get into people's civil liberties, you know, that much. The question is, how would they potentially use this? Would they put it in your passport, perhaps, and assign biometric data, so your fingerprints and your iris scans and everything else? Could that then be encoded on a little chip that, you know, you wouldn't be able to then forge?
Right.
That could be a good thing.
Right. And so you would have something possibly where even if you have the card with the chip in your pocket, it would work silently wherever you go and they'd know who you are. Right? So I'm thinking, what's that movie where they do the iris scan? What's that the movie?
The Tom Cruise movie?
Right.
I forget.
Yeah, right.
But it is true. And it's all about how are you going to protect that information. And will we as a public support that or not? Is the fact that you have RFID chips on in your medication bottles good because you're not going to have drug interactions? Or is it bad because potentially if they hack into the system, somebody could get a reader and know that you're on Prozac? You know, maybe as a public person, you don't want people going around with RFID scanners and finding out all sorts of personal information about you. So it's going to really depend somewhat on us.
All right, we're going to take a short break and come back and talk lots more, take your calls, and talk lots more about these RFID ID chips with Suzanne Cantra, Senior Technology Editor at Popular Science Magazine, and see what you think. So don't go away. We'll be right back. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flato. We're talking about are these new ID cards, these wireless ID chips. Where would we, with Suzanne Cantra of Senior Technology Editor at Popular Science Magazine, where would you see these?
Well, you're going to find them in Mobile Speed Pass, for instance. Right. It's been in use for a long time. 6 million people are using RFID tags in that manner. The toll systems, they're looking at MasterCard embedding them into credit card devices. And they're appearing in clothing as well.
And what other uses? You know, if you want to make sure something is authentic, this would be a way to, you know, the manufacturer could stick one in a bottle, maybe in your prescription bottle, and you'd know that it came right from them.
You'd be able to find that out. It would have information on when it was manufactured, if something needed to be recalled, potentially, if you had the scanner in your house and a connection to the internet, which more and more that's going to be the case, it could then inform you. You wouldn't have to be checking up on product recalls.
1-800-989-8255. Let's see if we can take a phone call or two. We have to go. Let's go to Emilio in Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, Emilio.
Yes. Good afternoon. Hello?
Hi, yes. Go ahead.
Yes. My question is, how can you use RFID for perishables, specifically for seafood and flowers? Thank you.
Well, you could definitely put it within the packaging so you would know when the flowers were picked or when the seafood was harvested. And then if you had a scanner, it could give you the date at which that packaging occurred.
And how soon do you think we're going to see, you know, really taking over as ubiquitous as a barcode?
Well, that's a good ways off. It's still expensive. You're talking about maybe 50 cents at the low end and then, you know, $50+ at the high end for something that would include a battery system in it. So we're talking about products that would be at least $15. There has to be a real cost benefit ratio there.
All right. I want to thank you very much for taking time to talk with us. Suzanne Cantor is Senior Technology Editor at Popular Science Magazine. She was here with us in our studios in New York.